What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked on Sharks, the premier hockey podcast covering your favorite team in the Bay. Sharks win, and they tried their hardest to lose to the Sabres, who are worse than them, but they really, really, really wanted to give this one up because, you know, the best strategy is to take a big lead and then park the bus and turtle as hard as you can. Good times.
Can confirm.
Sharks land.
Can confirm.
Your Locked on Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with me, as always, is co-host JD, the painted turtle to my Galapagos tortoise.
Which, doesn't the Galapagos live for like a bajillion years?
Yeah, that's cool with me.
Yeah. I don't want to live that long.
It's also bigger.
Yeah. You are
painted,
bigger.
You know what painted turtles are, right?
Huh.
They're like the little tiny guys that you find in like rivers in North America.
Oh, and
they
nice.
Got like little red things on their side. Like the little cute cool. guys that like little kids find. Yeah, that's called a painted turtle or a painted slider, something like that.
Huh.
They're the dope ones. Yeah,
they are.
They're cool. I think that's what the Ninja Turtles are modeled after, if I'm not mistaken.
You see, instead of the like the bands, they should just had the colors like on their...
I think that's the inspiration.
Inspiration, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, JD, but they are named after Renaissance painters.
Yes.
little known fact out
little
there.
Little known facts. Yes.
Little known fact. The San Jose Sharks went into full turtle mode. I think before we started recording, you said that a good team would have went up 3-0 and then went up 4-0 or 5-0 or 1-4-1, 5-1, 6-1, something like that. But instead, they tried to choke away the game.
They did try to choke away. And I think that's a frustrating, like, again, a win's a win's a win, right? But like, you know, especially with this, the way this team has played recently, like there isn't been a lot of hope and inspiration. I mean, it was nice that they came back from a 6-1, you know, deficit to make it a game against the Penguins, who were turtling in their own right. But you earn that right when you're up 6-1, you know, at some point. But like when you're up 3-0 and the end of the first and you're just like, that's it, boys, let's, you know, on to Philly, we're done. But like, you know, this would have been a nice time for them to like work on those things like their power play, which has been abysmal, or like
we'll get there.
That sustained zone pressure, or just like those little details that make good teams. And the Sharks right now, I mean, they won tonight, but they're still not a good team. And I know they're missing like Couture and Carlson and Middleton. But again, the Sabres are bad. We cannot stress how bad the Sabres are. We talked about like the rosters between the Sharks. Yesterday we talked about the Sharks and the Sabres rosters. They're not that much different, but the Sharks do have a little bit more star power between like your Hurdle and your Timo. And that was the difference that they won. But it would have been nice for them to like put away a team, which I feel like they haven't done in a long time.
No, they haven't. It's just it's bad.
They're score just, and then hang in there. Yeah.
I think that's the thing too, is that you look at it, you go, okay, they were up 3-0. They kind of parked the bus and hung on for a 3-2 win, and they beat Buffalo on to Philly. It's a road trip, whatever. But then you dig more into the stats and you realize that Buffalo had 39 shots. Buffalo's like 30th in the league in shots for. They're awful. They don't take shots. They're
especially
suppressed.
When you know, you have what, like, I think they had like 17 or 18 shots in the first period for the Sharks. And then they were just like, we're good, dog. Like it's that's just not good. Like, you know, as the Sharks, they had shots for, they had
21. Sorry,
they had 11 shots in the first period and they had 5 and 5 in the second and third period. That's all situations, including 2 power plays. Like
I'll just say it. That's capital P pathetic.
That is, especially against a bad, again, I cannot stress, the Sabres are a bad team.
The Sabres had 22 shots in the third. Yeah, they were obviously up. They were down by 2 goals. But like 22 shots is a lot of shots for a team that is truly horrendous in the shots department.
At generating offense, yeah.
Yeah, they're just not good at generating offense. So when you, that's the problem, is that you look at it and be like, okay, score effects. The Buffalo took a lot of shots because San Jose went up. But that's not what a good team does. And then you look more into it. San Jose only took 21 shots and they had a power play. So like, how do you only have 22 shots when you have power plays? How do you go up against one of the worst teams in the league and only put up that many shots? Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who I think could have a bright future, but he's still a rookie. He's been in the minors for a long time. He's gigantic. I think he's like 6'5 or something like that, but just shoot at him. He's not an NHL regular yet, and I just don't understand that. Like, Buffalo only takes 29 shots a game. They're 24th in the league. Like, how do you just let them do what they want, basically? Like, it doesn't make any sense how you can do that, especially because San Jose is supposed to be this defensive team. Bob's supposed to have transformed them into defense, and I know that they're missing Middleton and Carlson, but Middleton and Carlson aren't Cale Makar and Devin Toews. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not. It's just, yes, they would have maybe some less shots, but at the same time, would they? Because they're still going to be turtling. They're still going to be trapped in their own zone. I just don't understand what the game plan is for a bad team like San Jose to be struggling, and they need points and stuff like that to just pack it in. And if, like you said, San Jose had one real line of NHL players. It was Barabanov, Hurdle, and Meyer.
Yeah.
What was the second line tonight?
It was, I guess, ice time wise, it would have been the Bonino line. So yeah, looking at time on ice, yeah, like Cogliano, Bonino, and then Nieto. And then
that's not a second line on any NHL team. Maybe no, the Coyotes and the Senators, like on those two teams. But that's not a second line. So if San Jose doesn't have their two best players scoring all the goals and doing everything, then look, where are they? You know what I mean? Like, I just, for a team that's struggling so bad to put up, and I don't want to seem like, well, I'm just going to lean into it. Like, this was not a great win, just like the Coyotes win when they won 8-7. Like, yeah, they won, but like, when you dig in deeper, it's just like, holy, what are you doing out there?
Yeah,
I just don't understand.
That deserved to win thing. So it's like, if they had won 5-1, we'd be like, oh, wow, this was a nice win. You know, they started to like show something, you know, if their offense was more consistent, or even if they won 3-2, but they were like, they took 35 shots and they're consistently generating pressure, and
the power play looked good. Anything, but that's the problem, is that
there's just
nothing looked good.
I mean, Aiden Hill looked good tonight. I mean, especially when you face 39 shots, but like, other than that, I think that's the frustrating part, where it's, and we're not trying to be all doom and gloom, but it's like, again, we've seen this, you know, like they beat the bad teams. They're competitive with the middle teams like they are, and then they just get curb stomped by the good teams, and that's just not a recipe for success, especially as the schedule is getting tough. Like, after this road trip, this is a brutal stretch coming up where they're playing like the Floridas of the world, and they're just gonna get freaking caved in, dude. And I know people are like, hey, you know what, they're gonna start get some players back, they can start maybe getting in the middle of that playoff run. Why It's, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. What I do know, though, is that it's New Year, New Me time.
It is. 1,000%.
This is coming out January 7th. It's my dad's birthday. Shout out to him.
Happy birthday, Dad Kyle.
The year of Ron. Yes. He's living it up. Maybe he's got some New Year's resolutions. Maybe he's going to go New Year, New Me in his, I think he's 65 now. Whew. But you know what's part of that? Eating right, eating healthy, getting a little hungry. So you should grab a Built Bar. Make it part of your resolution, because Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a chocolate bar, sometimes even better than a chocolate bar. You ever had one of those Turkish Delight chocolate bars? They're awful. Built Bar definitely tastes better. And the thing is that it doesn't matter what flavors you like, because Built Bar has a lot of different flavors and you can find your favorite. Coconut brownie, cherry barcia, peanut butter, chocolate. Maybe you're just a plain Jane kind of person. You just want that chocolate. There's double chocolate if you just love chocolate. All sorts of different stuff. And the thing is that they're coming out with different flavors all the time at Built.com. So go check it out. See what kind of limited time offers they have. Maybe they're going to have a spring flavor. What kind of stuff comes around in spring? Some Easter flavors. Maybe a Peeps flavored Built Bar. You never know if you're into Peeps. I'm not. They're gross. But Built Bars aren't gross. And Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. And most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a chocolate bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 right there to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Power play. How about that? Why not decline? Just decline. Just fire the coaching staff. Everybody on the power play is standing in their spot and looking at each other. It makes no sense. Great word. Uninspired. It is, I was going to say hot barge fire diaper garbage. It is so bad. Like, truly awful.
Yeah.
You're playing the Sabres.
I know guys are playing out of position and stuff like that, but it's like,
it's the power play. There's no such thing as playing out of position on the power play. You have an extra human.
But, you know, like, just guys who probably shouldn't be on a power play on a good team are playing on the power play. But still, you are. Yes. Like, it's just, it's uninspired. And it's just, again, like, I'm not like a big X's and O's guys, but and I'm like, oh, the pass is going to, you know.
If JD knows, that's how you know it's bad.
Thanks. But, like, you know, it's just, it's uninspired. It's just not clicking. And it's this, and especially without Carlson, who, you know, at least adds some creativity to it. And Merkley, I thought, looked, you know, decent on it, but it's, again, he's young. You know, this is what, his fourth or fifth NHL game or whatever it is. But, like,
I mean, he looked better on the power play than most of the other schmoes that have been on it all.
Yes. We will not be slandering Ryan Merkley on this podcast.
And neither will Brett Hedekin, apparently. No, big heel turn from Hedekin, who hates every person who doesn't play like it's 1975 and he's Dave Semenko.
New year, new Hedekin?
No, because he blamed Carlson for a shorthanded goal the other day. And I was like, it's a shorthanded goal. What are you doing here?
I know. And then there was when Brent Burns literally just like lying
gave
on the
it
ice.
To the other team and was lying on the ice. He was like, oh, good effort from Burnsy.
You gotta take a nap here. I know.
The head snapping of one dude lying on the ice like he got shot and the other dude trying to make a play is just wild business. So I was pleasantly surprised to hear him praise Merkley do some stuff. I'm sure that won't last long, but play Merkley more.
Yeah, well, it's very monkey's paw of us to be like, they need to play Ryan Merkley.
And then it's with like nobody in the lineup and everybody's dead. You're like, no, Eric not Carlson, like this.
At the expense of Eric Carlson. So,
yeah, not like this, baby. Matrix style.
We did say we wanted the Burns Carlson Merkley right side, but
we're so close. It's right there. Just give it to us. I can feel it down in my plums.
You can feel it in your plums. But yeah, it's tough again with. Against a bad team where it's like we talked about in the previews, like this would be a good opportunity to maybe like build some confidence and build some momentum. And it's just like, I get you stopped the bleeding from a 2-game losing streak and you didn't give up Check's notes 6 goals in a game. Yeah, it was just like it's just uninspired performance, but it was nice to see Aiden Hill bounce back, especially with kind of the rocky kind of up and down he's had recently. You know, again, Sabres, we cannot stress this enough. The Sabres are bad. But when you face 39 shots, you know,
you got to make some saves.
You got to make some saves at some point, right? So he did a nice job. You know, he got a little, you know, when the Sabres were on the power play with the pulled goalie. So it was 6-on-4 for a little bit. And he gave it that goal there. And very close, giving up one with like 3 seconds left. But again, I thought he looked solid. You know, the glove hand, which has been a problem. You know, he got tested with that a little bit tonight, but was able to make some saves. And maybe this will be that bit of a confidence boost for him, especially with Reimer, who's seems like he's dealing with something. And from Curtis, I think, said
that it's called his back hurts.
Yeah, his back hurts from carrying this team. But Curtis said that they might be looking at putting him on IR right now, which would mean Hill and Sochinko would have to kind of carry the load for a little bit. And that's going to be tough with
anytime you can get the greatest goalie in Sharks history on your team, you got
to
do it.
You know, does James Reimer have to die so Sochinko could live? People are asking.
People are asking that question. No, but I think the thing is here is that we've asked this question about Aiden Hill before. Remember like the third game of the season, he had a shutout or something like that. We're like, whoa, Aiden Hill, nice trade. And then he cratered for literally the rest of the season. And every once in a while, he'll pop off with one of these
performances.
Except for Calgary. Well, I think it's because he's from there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he like from Alberta or something like that? But again, it's one of those things where are we going to see Aiden Hill kind of round into some form, take a step forward into the guy that they traded a second round pick for? Or is this just Aiden Hill had a good game and Aiden Hill will be bad for 5 more? I think that's the biggest thing is that what Aiden Hill are we getting going forward? I just don't know.
Yeah, and it's almost, I don't want to say the Martin Jones injury, but they showed his like save percentage per period. And like the first period is just abysmal. And then as the game goes on, he gets stronger. And I think his save percentage in the third period was somewhere like 940, which is, well, you know, that's what you want is those money save. But you can't, a goal in the third period is the same as a goal in the first period, right? Like you still have to make those saves there. So, you know, hopefully this will be kind of a nice little stepping stone game for him.
Catalyst,
yeah, to try to maybe get some good juice going, especially where he's going to have to be the guy right now if Reimer's out for any sort of time. So, and if Reimer's out for a long period of time, you can just kiss those playoff, any slender chances of playoff hopes, you can just kiss.
If we get the Aiden Hill for most of the season, then yeah, that's not promising at all.
No, definitely not promising. But you know what can be promising, Kyle?
What's that?
Making some money on Bet Online. So Bet Online, it would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all your sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new update desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, which is getting ready to start playoffs, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
What's your confidence heading into the Flyers game?
It's interesting because the Flyers right now are dead because they have so many guys on COVID right now.
Literally dead, yes.
Literally dead. So it's the last, there's two schools of thoughts. They're one, they're Flyers have nobody to play. So, and the Sharks just have literally more top end talent at the moment. But we've seen this sometimes that last game of the road trip where they just want to go home and they come out flat type of thing. So
the Flyers are worse than San Jose.
They are technically worse than San Jose. Yes.
technically worse. They're 5 points back of them with a game in hand. They're 13-15-6. They're fifth in the Metro.
Yeah, I mean, but they just played them literally a week ago, and the Flyers' COVID situation is basically the same. I know, like, Claude Giroux is now on their COVID list and stuff, but, like, and that was a 3-2 game that the Sharks had to win in overtime. So, I'm just going to say I think they lose just because they want to go home, and nothing from this Sabres performance kind of gave me any.
This road trip has not been inspiring whatsoever.
No. And they're, like I said, they're home. So they get home. They play Detroit, who just waxed them 6-2. And they play the Rangers,
good at hockey. Who are like the third best team in the league.
The Pittsburgh Penguins, who are also good at hockey. Best team in the league. Yeah. Yes. Then they play the Kings, who've
we're bad.
Kind of settled. Seattle, who just beat them.
Who suck, but San Jose lost to them. Yep.
Yep. That was in Seattle. Then they play, ready for this? This stretch right here is just going to break the back. Tampa Bay, Washington, Florida, Carolina, Tampa Bay, the Islanders, Boston, Seattle, and Vegas. That gets you to March 1st.
Oh.
And they'll probably sprinkle in some of those postponed games against like Edmonton. And Anaheim,
saying is that if the management and fans are still holding out hope for that playoff spot by March 1st, we can kiss it goodbye, which might be too late to really tank them.
Yeah. Let it go.
They got to knock off some losses here, then hit that stretch hard with the losses. Yeah. But like Tampa twice, Florida, Washington, Boston. Woo!
That's brutal.
That's a brutal stretch.
Toughest stretches. So tankathon rankings right now, Sharks are still sitting at 13th. So 2 points behind Vancouver and Detroit. So
Detroit and Vancouver on the up, though. And Detroit plays San Jose coming up. So
yeah, and Detroit's starting to kind of get it together too. So yeah.
So hopefully we'll keep tankathon watch going because it's gonna get nasty here for the Sharks. They're just not good enough to hang with the good teams. They might squeeze out a win here and there, but like they're not good enough to have a winning percentage, a winning percentage against all of those teams in that stretch. It's gonna be a rough February, boys and girls.
Yeah.
So but that's for future us to discuss. Let's do our three fries of the week and get out of here.
Yes. You go first. I always go first. So you pick your third fry of the week.
It's because I like going last. My third fry is Alexander Barabanov. Still playing good. Still being that guy. Still being that dude. Rudy is a lost figment of our imagination.
He should be back.
What is a Rudy? Who knows? Who could possibly say what a Rudy is?
Yes. My third fry of the week is someone I'm thinking of right now. It's been that type of week where they just have nothing going for them. Let's go with You know what? I'm going to give it to me. Me. The sacrifice I made sliding. I'm now day to day. But yes, we hit our 500 YouTube subscribers. I recreated the jumbo slide. Three takes. Feeling it today. But I did it because I provide you the content as part of the content boys. So yeah, I'm giving it to myself.
Nice.
Yeah. Very bold.
I like move. It. I like the heel turn. That's usually, yes. That was like a me move. Yes. I respect it immensely. Mm-hmm. Second fry of the week for me.
It's tough this week.
This week has been so bad. I just don't know. I'm going to go with Tomáš Hertl.
Yeah.
For responding nicely, picking up the leadership mantle. I don't know. It's fun to just talk about Tomáš Hertl, especially because he's going to be traded soon. So.
R.I.P. Mine's Barabanov. I had him anyway. But yeah, two goals and then did a really nice assist tonight on the Hertl goal. Again, just that vision of Barabanov to find guy. It's pretty crazy. Hit diamond in the rough guy. So who's your number one fry of the week?
Jacob Middleton. He had a two assist game. How could it not be?
And then he died for our sins.
Yeah, and then he died for our sins because he's too beautiful for this world. But he had a two assist game. How could it not be Jacob Superstar Middleton? The most Nikolai Knyazhov of the Middletons, or whatever that phrase goes. Remember Nikolai Knyazhov?
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back soon. I'm giving it to poor Kirby Doc, who's going to have to watch himself get his ankles broken for the rest of his life in that Cale Makar video that they're going to play on every highlight ever with Cale Makar. When Cale Makar goes to the Hall of Fame. Really nice move. Yeah, when Cale Makar goes to the Hall of Fame, that's going to be in there. Poor Kirby Doc, who's going to be a good hockey player himself, but yeah, he's going to be watching that clip for the rest of his life. So,
I like it. I'm for it.
Bad this week. Sorry.
JD gave it to Alexander Barabanov himself and a Chicago Blackhawks player. What a world we're living in. We should have swapped lists. If you would like to tell us what kind of fries you're feeling, you can do that at Locked On Sharks on Twitter. You can also get at us on Facebook, Instagram, both Locked On Sharks. If you message us there or say anything there, we will see it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
YouTube, we have passed 500 subscribers. Thank you, everybody. Onward to 1,000, where JD and I are going to get naked and touch tips.
I might have to get a stool.
No, it's long enough. I'll just reach it out. Don't worry. Locked On Sharks.
I need to send out the Photoshop of that.
No, not yet. It's and all of that should stay contained until 1,000. And then we'll release it.
I need the Photoshop. We have to tease the people to get them to.
I don't know. We have an amazing draft year idea coming up. There'll be lots of fresh opportunities.
It's the dumbest idea.
It's not. It's possibly the greatest idea. Dumb, yeah. Yes. Greatest, also true.
Both can be true.
Yeah. Locked On Sharks on YouTube. If you're listening to us, you know where to find us. Spotify, Apple, Amazon Music, vinyl. We're pressing those vinyls still. Catch us summer 2022. Email lockdownsharks@gmail.com. We got one.
Perfect way to end the Friday. Is our friend Paul?
No, it's Steve. Oh,
Steve, gotcha.
He's emailed us before.
Yes.
The email is titled Barabanov Trade Return.
Mm.
Don't worry, it's not that thoughtful. It says no NTC. this is all separate lines, by the way.
Yes.
No NTC. 1 million cap hit. Very solid middle six forward. Poor man's Kessel on the third line for a contending team. That's a little bold.
The poor
that's like possibly a dead man's Kessel.
Yeah,
because Kessel was really good for a long time.
And Kessel scores and Barabanov a lot. Barabanov is nowhere near the scorer.
So. He finished off the email with first rounder plus +? And I like where your head's at. excellent, 10 out of 10 email. You really rounded into form after the Kessel mishap. First rounder plus is exactly where we're going. Yeah. Bowen Byram +1, yeah. Yeah. So I think that's where we're going for Alexander Barabanov. JD, who makes this entire show work, otherwise it would just be me doing nothing and you'd get like one show a week, is that my fry hole.
Kyle, is that Kyle Demetrius? The main character, we all know. So,
and I won't be back for the beginning of next week. The main character is off. And then the main character.
Yeah, he'll be back in his trailer. So, but we do have two guests lined up for next week. We have Iman Smith to help me break down the Flyers game. And then we have Shang is making his return to the podcast for Tuesday's episode. So make sure you guys are subscribing or wherever
but
you
don't get listen your to their podcast. Just listen to ours.
Just listen to ours. But the superior of the Sharks podcast.
We are the premier.
The premier.
Premier Sharks podcast.
Thank you again for helping us get to 500, on to 1,000. Thank you also for making us your first listen. Go check out Locked On Bets. You got to go pay off those credit card debts from the holidays. Or go check out the Locked On Flyers or Locked On Red Wings coming up. Or any of the other great Locked On podcasts. Like Locked On Warriors with Clay coming back.
Like Locked On Giants. Either one.
Yes. Ooh. Yeah, I'm also jealous of you, Rodney, going to the Clay's return. So, bye, friends.
I got nothing. Happy weekend.